Greetings, everybody. Glad to see y'all here tonight. Thank you so very much for coming. If you would, while everyone's gathering in, why don't we stand and open our service with prayer tonight, that God would help us to be open and receptive to the Word of God, that we could receive what He wants us to hear tonight. Number of prayer requests, things that could be mentioned tonight. But if you have a need, just make it known by the uplifting of your hand. God knows what it is. God bless you for that. Let's all pray together, shall we? Jesus, we love you today. We're thankful, God, for all that you do. We're thankful for your presence that's here, that we know is here. We pray, God, that you would move and bless in this service tonight, that we could be open to the Word of God, what the Word of God has to say. We pray that we could receive it, apply it. The hands that were raised tonight for prayer requests, you know all about those situations and needs, and we pray tonight that you administer to them, that the presence of the Lord would be made manifest, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Look at somebody close by and tell them, I'm glad to see you. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Before we get into our Bible study tonight, I wanted to give you the latest and final update on our dormitory situation at the campground. I have communicated back and forth with Brother Stroud, and at this time, they're going to just allocate to us one space for one dorm. And so we're back to one dorm, and whichever boys or girls behaves the best between now and youth camp, I'm kidding. That would be a hard, hard thing to monitor right there. But so with that news, Sister Murphy and I are planning to go tomorrow to Karen Crow and purchase the brand new trailer that they have, mobile home they have. And as soon as the site is ready, we have people working on that already. And as soon as it's ready, we'll move it. And Lord willing, we'll have it all ready for, certainly for youth camp, but maybe even prior to that. It'll be interesting to see who is going to compete with someone else to be the first one to stay in it. I don't know how big of a deal that will be to anybody, but it could be something you could add to your future resume of experience here at Grace Church. I was the first one to sleep in the dorm at the campground. So I am excited about it. Sister Murphy and I did have a conversation. We both agree. We do know that very soon there's going to be a brand new boys dorm under construction for the whole district. I think it's supposed to sleep about 300 boys. And so we're hoping when that's completed, that will alleviate dorm issues at the campground, that it's certainly our boys could stay in a dorm. If you could see a plan of it, I don't know if it's on the Louisiana District website or not, but what they're planning is to have pods. Think of like four bunks in a pod. It's just not one big giant open room. Hopefully if it works out for our guys to get one of those pods, then you could be there with all your buddies and what have you. So it should be very nice when it's done. And we are disappointed, but I do know that they just didn't feel like they had a space they wanted to give for something as large as we were wanting to put there. There is some more property at the campground that's very soon going to start being cleared and developed for more places to put trailers and RVs and whatnot. And Brother Stroud said, when you see that begin to come to pass, and lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh for another dorm. He didn't say it quite that way. That was just the way I took it. That it's going to be up to us to watch and look for that. So I ask everybody to pay attention to that. And there's a lot of people wanting spaces up there, as you can imagine. There's a long list. And so we're thankful for what we're getting. We're going to rejoice and be excited. And as the Lord wills, as time goes on, I'm sure we will get a space for another dorm that can be a private dorm for either the boys or the girls, whichever way it works out. So we're going to be excited for what we're getting and look forward to the future in getting another one. Good. There's still good news. We are going to have a dorm up there. Great time here this past Sunday. I'm so appreciative to Grace Church. You folks are always open to the Word of God, to the preaching of the Word of God and whatnot. And I'm so very thankful for that. Your response is beautiful and wonderful. Thank you for being so open and so cooperative, if you will, with the moving of God's Spirit. Last Wednesday night, I launched into a Bible study on misunderstanding. And before I begin, I want to do a little bit of review very quickly, and then we'll jump into what we've come prepared for tonight. But I was thinking this afternoon, as getting ready, getting in a mindset for service tonight, that there's a trend in our American culture right now, our American religious culture, that when people go to church, they want to hear something that's relevant to them. You know how challenging that would be? When you just look at the age span in a typical congregation, I mean, we have probably children, young people in here, 10 to 11 years old, all the way up to 108 or something like that. Maybe not quite that old, but not far away. People in their 80s. So to find something relevant for every single person would be very challenging. The other thing about trying to teach and preach relevant is people's lives are in such different places. You have people that might be celebrating their 40th wedding anniversary, and in the same time, you have somebody going through a divorce. You could have a baby dedication coming up, and you could have a family grieving because they can't have children. There's all these dynamics that make this desire to hear, well, I want something specifically relevant to me and what I'm going through and what I'm facing. It can be a challenge. I hope you all understand that, and I'm confident you do. I look at church and teaching and preaching, of course, do my best to listen to the voice of God and whatnot. But as far as pastor goes in presenting sermons and Bible studies, especially Bible studies, I want to do what I can to enhance, to some degree, your knowledge, but also to understand things, to understand, to not be bewildered when life throws you that big curveball. My effort on Wednesday nights is when I teach prophecy, for example. I know everybody, well, we've heard prophecy. Prophecy this, the Antichrist, the tribulation period, what have you. Well, I think sometimes we need to be reminded of it so we can kind of tell where we're living as far as the signs of the end times are concerned. And sometimes there's everyday life that happens to all of us. So we try to do our best to have you understand from a biblical point of view. And I believe a lot of people lose their way when they try to comprehend and understand life. That's a broad stroke, but just understanding life just based on what our culture thinks about things. I believe people can get their feelings hurt too easily. I believe people get discouraged too easily. I think people get burnt out too easily. It's because our culture has piled so many things, ideas and trends and pressures. We all know the past several years, inflation has gone through the roof, and unfortunately, wages hadn't kept up with that. And we've had folks here at Grace Church where a spouse has had to go to work or a spouse has had to take on another job just to help make ends meet. So we all have these pressures, and what I'm striving to do, and I spent a good part of this year, the past several months, on spiritual warfare, prayer, what have you. And what I'm doing now is a form of spiritual warfare, but to have you develop another perspective from which you can gain understanding from. If you just watch the news on television, there's no hope. All you see is sin and horribleness and what have you. I still lean heavily on the Bible. I stand heavy on the Bible. I believe in what the Bible says, and it is my hope and has been for a number of years. So I've been teaching on discouragement, what have you. Last Wednesday night, I talked to you about misunderstanding. Why misunderstanding? Why do you have to go through these things? I'm not going to say misunderstanding is always the will of God, but God is absolutely eloquent in taking negative things that happen in our life and turn it around into something positive. And this is why I'm so enjoying presenting this material. I do want to make another plug for the Sunday school class we teach every Sunday morning. It's a little bothersome to me, I guess, that there's people here, you're on campus, but that 40, 45 minutes over there is just, I wish you'd come. I think if nothing else, just the fellowship, just being in a room of people of like precious faith would be encouraging rather than sitting somewhere drinking a cup of coffee, whatever. Wish you'd come. The Old Testament said in one place, come thou and be with us, we will do thee good. And so I'm glad you're here tonight. Brave the weather, what have you. And thank you for being here. Last Wednesday night, we read three verses of Scripture for our text. Tonight, I'd like to read the third one in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. The writer said, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Be patient. Give people latitude. I want to continue tonight talking to you about life when it's misunderstood, people when they're misunderstood, conversations when they're misunderstood. What can you gain out of that? What can you glean out of that? So last Wednesday night, we talked to you about a number of things. At the byproduct of a misunderstanding, it can lead to the separation of close friends. Misunderstanding can hinder the work of the gospel in the church. Oh, yes, it can and has through the years and will continue to do so until Jesus comes, because people don't know how to handle misunderstandings, more specifically, conflict resolution. Misunderstandings can result in mistreatment. Sure can. Misunderstanding can result in loss. Misunderstanding can lead to persecution. Misunderstandings can lead to false doctrines. Misunderstandings occur when people misinterpret or mistake the true significance of actions, words, attitudes, or motives. How many times have you told somebody, I didn't mean what I said? You know, I think I had a conversation with Joseph here a while back. The person that came up with the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, that guy was delusional. I know more people that are destroyed by words. We misunderstand. We say things that we didn't think through. We say things when we're emotional, etc. Misunderstandings. David's motives were misunderstood by his brothers. So why the misunderstandings? Does God allow it? Of course. But he can teach us things. If you will listen to what I'm going to say tonight, it'll help you in the future. It'll help you on your job. It'll help you in your marriage. It'll help you as a parent. It'll help you as a child that has parents. How many has parents here tonight? I see a couple that's not raising their hand. We'll talk about it later. Anyway, so why the misunderstanding and so on? Well, one answer to that is to humble us as it reveals our own weaknesses. We don't have the ability to understand. So it shows we're a little weak in that particular area, whatever the misunderstanding was, and maybe we could do better the next time. Number two, why misunderstanding? It's because we do not always communicate effectively. We assume people know what we're talking about. As a preacher, I learned a long time ago what comes out of my mouth is not necessarily what goes in your ears. I had somebody, it's happened several times, but it hasn't happened in a while, and I hope it never happens again. If it does, it does, whatever. But people will walk up and say, man, when you was preaching a little while ago and you said da-da-da-da-da, it made me think about this. And I'm like, I didn't say that. I didn't say anything remotely close to that. I don't know what you heard. And so I've learned what comes out of my mouth as a minister is not what goes in your ears. I've learned that as a husband. Okay, we'll move on. How many of you students have learned, Mom and Dad, you just don't understand? Look at there. Boy, I got two hands up on that one. I don't know if that's surrender or just saying, hey, I know. We all go through this misunderstanding thing. I know when you're about 12, 13, 14 years old, nobody understands what you're saying because you don't make any sense. It's hard for you to understand that. I don't know how many times I've looked at Casey and said, what did Joseph just say? I don't have a clue. And so she gives me some version of what she thinks he said. And then he corrects both of us that, no, that's not what I said. So one of the most difficult situations for us to work with, everybody listen to what I'm about to say. One of the most difficult situations that we have to work with is when we misunderstand God. And it happens often. Everybody understand, we do not always see the big picture as God sees it. There was a horrible, horrible tragedy that happened in the past week or so. The church in Indian Village, just north of Lake Charles. A man, his wife, and their little baby, how old? 2 years old. They went down in a helicopter crash, and all three of them were killed. Right here at Thanksgiving, they understand they've flown to Lake Charles. It was on their way back about a mile from landing. I don't know what happened. But the man was a helicopter pilot. Something happened. The plane. I've tried over and over to say to myself, what if that was one of my children, their spouse, and their baby? I don't know what I'd do. And all you can ask is why. God help those people. God help that family. God help them, I pray in Jesus' name. But misunderstanding, folks, can show us our weaknesses. It can teach us to rely on God and the Word of God, and not just our own abilities. Misunderstandings can teach us valuable lessons if we are mature enough. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. If we are mature enough to look in the mirror and say, okay, I'm going to give the person the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they didn't communicate effectively, and I misunderstood, and I got blown away by what they said or what they did. But I'm going to take the high road, and I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to give them latitude. I'm going to be the big person here. Everybody say amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, the Bible said, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. You can't live perfectly your life without God's ability being manifest in it. That's what this verse is saying. We need God. Everybody say amen. And when you exclude God from your circumstance, I wish you the best. Being misunderstood, on the flip side of it, if you will, brings humility into our lives. I talk sometimes a lot to people and try to have them understand things. And 2 or 3 weeks later, something gets back to me and the people completely misunderstood what I was trying to say. It's humbling, and it makes me feel small and weak that I didn't have the ability to communicate effectively and clearly to a person, and certainly relative to their situations. According to St. Augustine, the three greatest virtues of misunderstanding, and certainly being a Christian about it, the three greatest virtues is humility. Number one, humility. Number two, humility. And number three, humility. Humility is an exclusive Christian value. Pride and arrogancy does not work in Christian values and Christian virtues. No other religion expects humility from its followers like the gospel of Jesus does. And oftentimes, especially in our culture today, people are consumed by self-interest. We live in a me-first generation. That's why I talked about people wanting, well, I want the service to be relevant to me. I want the songs we sing to be relevant to me. You can't do that. If you have more than one child, you can't be relevant to two kids at the same time. They have different interests. Everything about them is different. Even if they're twins, they're different. We live in a society that says if you don't toot your own horn, nobody's going to toot it for you. I understand that to a certain degree. But everything ain't about you. Everything's not about me. Sometimes there's other people living close by to us that needs to be considered. Do we understand that? We live in a generation where it's everybody for himself. It's a dog-eat-dog world we live in and work in. There's no loyalty. There's no loyalty in jobs with your employer or the employee. On any given day, you can be fired or you can quit, leave somebody holding the bag. It's running even pretty thin in marriage. It's running pretty thin in parenting. It's where we live. Humility is not something that's very real in our society and culture anymore. I want you to notice the scripture reading in John 13, verse 4. This is Jesus. So during the meal, he didn't wait till they were finished. He got up, removed his outer garment, and wrapped a towel around his waist, put some water into a large bowl, and then he began washing his disciples' feet and drying them with a towel that he was wearing. It's humility. How is our attitude and posture towards our fellow man in that department? It's necessary, it's important that we're willing to serve our fellow man. And you have to understand, if you're going to cultivate a relationship with anybody, be your spouse, your kids, your parents, be anybody, there's going to be misunderstandings. I'm really surprised in this very so polarized political environment we're in. There was a psychologist all of a sudden got famous nationally by making this statement that if any of your family members voted for Donald Trump, you don't have to spend any time with them during the holiday season this season. That's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. What is that going to do? That's just going to make it worse. It seems to me like you'd want to go and say, hey, I don't appreciate you voting for Donald Trump, but I'm not going to hate you over it. That's your right as an American. That's a mature thing to do. Why do you want to do things that causes more division and more heartache? So So misunderstanding can reveal pride. We are prideful and we are prone to self-importance, self-indulgence, self-sufficiency, self-righteousness. This is a byproduct of when you are not successful going through a time of misunderstanding. It indicates some element of pride in that I will not say I'm sorry to that person. I will not forgive that person. I will not overlook what that person did. It's not going to help you. And it's certainly not going to help them. So misunderstanding can reveal pride in us. Misunderstanding can reveal the necessity of patience in us. Sometimes people do some boneheaded stuff. They do some stuff that's really stupid. And sometimes it takes some patience. Being misunderstood means that we often have to lay plans aside until the misunderstanding is resolved. I've experienced that. I've put things aside, we'll do it later because of misunderstanding. I've been on the other side of that. Misunderstanding, the devil can use it as a tool to destroy people, but God can use it as a tool to instruct people. Just depends on how you want to look at it. Let me share with you this little short sentence and see if any of you agree with it. Maybe this is your first time hearing it. Does everybody here tonight understand that not everybody is going to agree with you? All of you husbands that agree your wife is like that, raise your hand. I'm kidding. I don't know why I like to play with the marriage thing. I just do. It's fun. It's a little bit of fun. But I've learned years ago as pastor, everybody in the church is not going to agree with me. Sometimes I've been right and sometimes I've been wrong. But we try to be patient to give the situation a little time to work itself out one way or the other. Do we all understand this, that not everyone is as fast to understand us? You ever been driving home from church, you and your spouse, and one of them, the husband, wife, brings up somebody you just talked to at church and said, I don't understand why that idiot don't understand what I'm saying. I said it 12 times, they still don't understand. If y'all ever had similar conversations to that, you don't have to answer. You can look at stone-faced at me all you want. I know you've done it. Some of you have told me it happened. Sometimes we have to be patient to let people get their head around what you're trying to say, to give them a moment to catch up with where you are and whatever it is you're talking about. Misunderstanding reveals the necessity of forbearance and forgiveness. Misunderstanding reveals the necessity of forbearing people or forgiving people. I want to tell y'all, we've taught often through the years on forgiveness. That has to be one of the greatest difficulties for most Christian people to do when you've really legitimately been hurt by somebody is to forgive them. I've known families that's been torn apart because of it, and I've known of churches that's been torn apart because of it. There are people's inability to scrape up enough Christian character to forgive somebody for doing something horrible to them. Because of the differences we have as a people, it could be education, social status, generational views, cultural differences, different weaknesses. We must be patient with the weak and not envious of those who are stronger. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. When a wife finds that her husband is having issues with pornography, she doesn't understand that. Not justifying it, but sometimes the husband needs a little patience to work through that. It doesn't mean you just storm out the door and never fool with that person again. It doesn't have to mean that. oftentimes, if you give people time and you handle it right, they can overcome that. I'm just using that as it's an extreme illustration. I understand that. But I think sometimes we're too quick to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And if we could understand the necessity of forbearance and forgiveness, it is absolutely necessary that we do that. And I know there's elderly people here tonight that don't understand our students, and there's students here tonight that don't understand the elderly. But somehow or another, we have to learn to bridge that gap of relationship and give and be patient with people, be kind to people, and to be as understanding as we possibly can. If you can't learn how to do that, life is going to be a challenge for you in every relationship you have. And the quicker you learn to forbear, that means just tolerate, to be patient with people, and then to forgive them over transgressions they've done to you, the quicker you learn how to do that, do it sincerely, do it right, the happier you will be. Toting grudges does not make people happy. It makes you very angry, it makes you very frustrated, and it makes you extremely difficult to get along with anybody. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul said, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, just gush with mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, being patient and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Be patient, and you forgive. I think there's a certain therapy that can be practiced with learning to forgive, and some may feel like there's a certain hypocrisy in it, and it may be. I was faced with this a number of years ago in our first pastorate when we were in Youngstown, where somebody really close to me committed an act of betrayal. Won't go into the details, but it was bad. And I still fellowshipped with that person. Still laughed at their jokes and shook their hand and hugged their neck, even though on the inside I was struggling so bad with what they had done to me as a pastor. I acted as though I had forgiven them. And when I could learn to act that way, it became easier to actually forgive them. Sometimes we assume and we write people off, said they hurt me and I will never speak to them again. If you can make yourself be mature enough and disciplined enough and go ahead and talk to that person, you might find that they realize that they made a huge mistake and they are desperate for you to forgive them. But if you never approach them and you never forbear them and be patient and later on approach them, then that can go unresolved until you both die. I'm teaching the truth tonight, and it may not be, we're not running the aisles right now, but this can help you as much or more than anything else that we can be as Christian people. Paul, let me move on tonight. Misunderstanding helps us to measure our maturity. Misunderstanding helps us to measure our maturity. You know, one of the best resources to learn how to navigate conflict resolution is to watch 2-3-year-olds fight over a toy. It can get violent. I've seen them hit and bite and scream and cry, and one of them gets the toy and the other one walks away so hurt and offended they run to their mom or dad, whoever's close by, for comfort and aid and strength and so on. And 3 minutes later they went back down on the floor, and guess what they're doing? They're playing with that kid again. That kid just bit the fire out of him, and they're over there playing with him again. If adults could be that way, what a wonderful world it would be. But we don't do that. We want to say, they hurt me, they betrayed me, they did this to me, that to me, and I am not going to ever forgive them again. I want you to understand that's a very childish point of view, A. B. Jesus won't forgive you of your sin until you forgive them of theirs. That's Bible. That's straight up Bible. But if you can take a misunderstanding and be honest and objective, whether you're the one being misunderstood or you understood someone else, whatever it is. If you can look in the mirror and rehearse that whole thing in your head again and say to yourself, now, who's being the grown-up person here? Am I going to act like I'm 4 years old, or am I going to act like an adult here? James said in his epistle, for in many things we offend all. Everybody offends somebody all the time. And when we offend people, we want people to understand and forgive us. But when the role is reversed and we're the one that's been offended, we don't want to forgive that person. One translation said, for we all go wrong in a number of things. If a man never makes a slip in his talk, then he is a complete man, a mature man, and able to keep his whole entire body in control. Nobody's able to do that. Everybody spouts off at the mouth. Everybody says things that's not true, and it's exaggerated, and it's mean, and it's harsh, and whatever. Do you just write that person off? Or do you grow up and be mature and say, you know what? Next time I see them, I'm going to shake their hand and tell them, don't worry about it. I've had to do it. There's a married couple sitting in this room right now that went through one of the greatest acts of betrayal I've ever seen, and was committed by a pastor. Happened years ago. Neither one of these people have ever said anything negative about that man in my presence. And what they did? They became the big people. They became the grown-up people. And they decided, we're going to take the high road. We're not going to criticize. We're not going to lash out. They took it hard. They took it hard, you hear me. It's very challenging. One of the most difficult situations I've been involved in personally in my entire ministry. And because they decided to be mature, not backslide, not get bitter, none of that. They decided to be mature, and they decided to be take that posture. We're just going to let it go. They're hurting. Yes, they're hurting. But they didn't let it turn into bitterness, a grudge, any of that. They forgave the person. And I like to say they came out smelling like a rose. It's two of the sweetest people that I know. Have a phenomenal attitude to this day. They learned to take a misunderstanding and help them measure their own maturity level. And it worked. So in conclusion tonight, the danger of dealing badly with misunderstandings, here's the danger in dealing badly with it, is you develop anger, resentment, unwise responses, emotional, mental, and spiritual baggage, despair, bitterness. This is the danger of dealing badly with misunderstandings. Very rarely, very few people have the ability to put yourself in another man's shoes and try to gauge their reaction from their point of view when they're going through a situation. We only see it from our side. But conflict and bitterness in the church may be the single most damaging matter to the work of God. Yes, it is. Our area is full of people who are hurt and bitter and will not go to church anywhere. In the secular world, how one gets along with fellow workers is more important than experience, intelligent gifts, and abilities. Misunderstandings can force us to learn to speak more clearly, be more tolerant of others, to be patient with the slower pace of others, to be humble in the face of opposition, to control our responses to prevent worsening the circumstance. As misunderstandings occur often and do such damage, it is important for a Christian to learn how to deal with misunderstandings effectively. Everybody will be misunderstood at some point in his or her life. How you deal with one with the misunderstandings will reveal your character, your maturity, and your ability to lead. Failing the misunderstanding test often leaves us defeated and embittered. Passing it brings us closer and closer to the character of Christ. Who was misunderstood more than Jesus? who helped people in everything he did and was still crucified because of it. Total misunderstanding. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. What an example. So folks, when you misunderstand me, please be patient. Please, let's talk about it. I want to close with this. This happened a long time ago, but there was a person here at Grace Church a long time ago was grossly misunderstood decisions that were made about certain things. Came to my office and wanted me to take their side. I didn't do it. I couldn't do it. It wasn't appropriate to do it. I didn't agree with it. And it hurt this person. Over several weeks and even a couple of months, he came to my office again, and I pleaded with this person and said, could you please understand why this stand was taken, this decision was made, etc. And the person looked at me with eyes that were glaring into my soul, it felt like. And I finally told this person, I will get down on my hands and knees and I will crawl and kneel at your feet if you will forgive the people involved in this. And they said, it's not going to happen. I would have done it. I would have done it. I would have done it. We have to understand the importance and necessity of how to deal with misunderstanding and help it to make us stronger, more mature, and better Christian people. And everybody say amen. Thank the Lord. Let's stand tonight. Let's close in prayer that God would please help us to understand what we've heard tonight and to apply it. Please apply it. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We're thankful for the Word of God. What we have presented here tonight is straight out of the Bible. It's Bible concept. It's Bible principle. Some explicit, some implicit. But either way, it's Bible teaching. And we can't take the human carnal side of a misunderstanding and use it as an excuse to hate people, to hold a grudge against people, to be bitter towards people. We have to use these times as opportunities to plead forgiveness, to plead patience, to help us grow and to understand, to develop as Christian people. God, help us to take this Word of God tonight, apply it to our lives, apply it to everyday living, to every aspect of our life. We'll be better people because of it. We'll be better Christian people because of it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. You're dismissed.